right now. I'm just going to fade down the music and hopefully I should have on the line, been waiting to speak to him all day, joined on the line by singer and songwriter Tony Hadley. Tony's vocals have graced some of the most iconic tunes with Spandau Ballet, with songs such as Chant, Gold, True, Only When You Leave, Freeze, Through the Barricades, which has stood the test of time. Tony and Spandau Ballet are as popular today as they were when they first formed, and Tony's solo career means he never stops performing, and he plays to thousands at festivals across the UK, in fact, across the world. And the great news is Tony Hadley will be appearing at this year's Brentwood Festival. Good afternoon.
Hi there, you alright?
Yeah, I'm okay. What's the noise in the background? Have you got...
that's Genevieve going crazy. She's about to go to a party.
Oh, is she? Oh, okay. Hello, Genevieve. Thanks for joining us. We're just going to go back to when you first started off singing. Do you come from a musical family?
Yeah, not particularly. I mean, a pretty typical sort of London family, really. I mean, there was always someone who would play the piano, and I remember as a kid some of my uncles getting up and singing some of the old songs, and my granddad and stuff. But I wouldn't say we were a musical family. No one was a virtuoso, put it that way.
Because you're what I term as a proper singer. So when did you realise you had that voice? Because there's a difference between kind of singing along with the song and people going, oh, you know, you're not, and then going, wow, where did that voice come from?
If I'm honest, I don't really know. I got into singing... when I was kind of 11, 12 years of age, just used to sing along to, you know, Queen, Bowie, Roxy, that kind of stuff in my bedroom. And then my mum and dad bought me a tape recorder. I used to record my voice.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, you know, not too bad, Tone, you know. and eventually, you know, we formed the band. But I also took lessons. I took opera lessons from a lovely Canadian woman called Pamela Dodds. And so... You know, my recommendation to any young singer is don't balk at taking singing lessons. You know, if you've got a great singing teacher, they can help you an awful lot. So, yeah, I also was inspired by kind of classic singers like Tony Bennett, Frank Sinatra, Jack Jones, those kind of singers as well. So, as well as like in the Pistols and the Clash, I was in the Swing.
And do you remember your very first gig? Do you remember where it was and what you sung?
Very first gig was in the school hall at Dame Alice Owens at Potter's Bar.
Yep.
And we were 16 and we were called The Roots. And it was basically the Spandau lineup, but minus Martin. Martin was our third bass player. But myself, John, Steve and Gary, we were there with a lad called Michael Ellison.
Mm.
And we played to all the third and fourth formers. And it was great. It was great. I mean, I don't know what we were like.
Did you get all the girls afterwards?
Yeah, I kind of, that's always a bonus in this business. You think, oh, this is a good business. You get taken out for lovely meals and drinks, and you get a few girlies swooning at you. So, I mean, we were young 16-year-olds, so for us it was like, yeah, wow, yeah, this is great.
So you didn't actually go along and audition for the band. You all kind of, Spandau was formed from that band of everybody being together at that point.
Yeah, it just formed at school. Kind of all kind of got together, really. I mean, I know Steve Norman said to me, you know, we're looking for a singer, and I said, look, you know, mate, you're looking at him here, kind of thing. And that really was then when we started the band.
That's incredible to think of all that talent just happening to be in that place at that one time.
Yeah, I suppose it was, but most bands do tend to form either at school or at college or university. I mean, so it's normally a coming together of people. I mean, not necessarily great mates, but just people who have got sort of a common sort of aim, and, you know, we were really into music and very diverse in our musical tastes as well.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of, in a sense, gave us our Spandau sound.
Now, you did the tour with Spandau last year.
Uh-huh.
Did it feel like you'd never had a break once you were up on stage playing together again?
Yeah, I suppose it does, really, yeah. I know what you mean. It's kind of weird. It's like the years just kind of dissipate and there's no gap. Yeah, we toured for a year and a half promoting the film Soul Boys.
Yeah.
And our last show was in Hong Kong about 9 months ago. And then literally I jumped across the road and my band were waiting for me, and then I went to Dubai.
Now, you're a solo performer. I was going to talk about the band just in a bit, but how... is it more difficult being a solo performer coming from a band, or was it just a completely, you know, just a what sort of, how is it different?
Well, to be honest, it's scary because, you know, you're in a band, you know, this big band called Spandau Ballet, and then And then all of a sudden, you're, you know, for whatever reason, the band breaks up, and then you're solo. And it's a little bit scary because you kind of no longer you've got your mates around you just to rely on. I mean, I have to say though that the TH band is, you know, we've been together now a long, long time, and we're really great pals.
Mm.
So, you know, I have to do the interviews and stuff like that and the TV appearances, but I've got a great set of guys around me that are really supportive. We write together,
mm.
and they're really good mates.
You've got a loyal fan base, haven't you?
I hope so.
Yeah, you have though, because you play. I mean, I was reading here. I mean, this is from 2008, where I think you said you did how many gigs? 220 shows. I mean, that was in 2008, so obviously you're gigging all the time.
Yeah.
Where do you get? Is that your parents that drove you? Because you work very, very hard. I mean, you don't sort of sit around doing nothing.
Well, I get bored really easily. I sort of typical Gemini, really. I sort of if there's not something going on, then I'm sort of getting really anxious, kind of thing. Not in a manic way. I'm not like that. But I do like to work. I mean, I like kind of leisure time as well. I love spending time with wife Ali and the kids and stuff and the big kids, and you know that's all cool. But I love getting on stage, and I love singing. I love working in the studio, and I just enjoy music. And I'm still doing it after all these years, and still earning a living. So I'm a very lucky boy, I think.
Why do you think because it's, you know what the music industry is like? It's shark infested. A lot of people don't last for very long in the industry, or they have a couple of hits. I mean, you've been in the industry for years and years and years, still going strong, still headlining, still gigging. Why do you think that is?
Oh, I don't know. You've kind of got me there. I think, in a way, I mean, you know, listen, when I went solo, the first time I went solo, there was a big fanfare, you know, and it didn't go according to plan. And I just went right back to basics again, if you like, and I just went back to doing kind of clubs and sort of jazz clubs and stuff like that. And I suppose, in a sense, paid my dues all over again. But what I did prove is that myself and the band are great live performers, and slowly but surely over the years you kind of just prove to people that you can really cut it live. I also think that during the 80s was such a definitive decade, and in those days you were on TV. I mean, us and the Duranis and Culture Club and Wham and stuff like that, and we were on TV constantly. So over a 10-year period, everybody got to know us, whether it grands, granddads, and kids, and mums and dads. And people still look back at that decade quite fondly, so and thank God they do.
There's a great picture on your website, Tony, with the orchestra in the background. It just looks fabulous. Tell us about the guys who are going to be playing at the gig you're doing here at the Brentwood Festival on the 17th of July. You're headlining. Tell us about some of the songs you're going to be doing and the guys and girls who are going to be joining you.
Yeah, I mean, well, on stage with me is Phil Taylor on keys, our MD as well. Phil Williams on bass. We've been together a long time. The new boy is Richie B. Barrett. He's been with us, I think, 16 years.
Yeah.
We got Tim Bye on drums and Lily Gonzalez on percussion and vocals, and Simon Willerscroft. Possibly, although he might be Duran in it. He plays with Duran, so he might be in America. So I'm not sure if we've got Simon. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, if you've got sort of history of hit records and stuff, people want you to do True Gold, Through the Barricades, Only When You Leave, Lifeline. So yeah, we'll be doing all that, testing out a couple of new songs as well. It's always good to see what people's reaction is, and just doing some fun songs as well. So just a very energetic up-tempo set, I think.
Now, I've got a couple of questions just from some listeners. So, Jordan, now, this I thought was a little bit rude, but Jordan Cox says, what was worse, being on I'm a Celebrity with Lady C or Arsenal losing to Leicester City in the Premier League?
I'd have to be Arsenal losing to Leicester City.
You are.
I can cope with that woman, but, yeah, it was. I mean, to be honest, we were lucky to just scrape in second, but We need to spend some money on some players. We really do.
Yeah.
Our back four is atrocious.
Georgina Bromlow said, what kind of music do you listen to when you're not singing yourself?
I try to keep up with new stuff. You know, I mean, you try to keep up with the Ed Sheerans of this world and people like Matt Corby and stuff like that. as much as possible. It is difficult. I mean, I rely on my little Zara, actually. She's 9 and she's on YouTube all the time checking out new music. And between us, we listen to some of the compilation albums, which are quite interesting. So I try to keep up with as much as possible. But, yeah, you dip into your old catalogue. You might dip into Queen and Bowie and Roxy. But you'll also, you know, Kaiser Chiefs, Killers, Avicii, Swedish House Mafia, that kind of stuff as well, along with stuff like Sinatra and Bennett. It depends what kind of mood you're in, really, I think.
Mm. Laurie Edmonds, who's going to be at the Brentwood Festival, she's one of the organisers, says she's jealous that our voices are touching. I don't know what that means. It sounds a little bit creepy to me, but there we go. Thought I'd just mention that. And Tony, just a last question. If you were not a singer, what would you have done?
Wow. That's a difficult... If I wasn't a singer, what would I do? I can't imagine not singing. I think I might have possibly gone into maybe acting or something like that. Possibly acting. Yeah.
Well, you've already done acting, haven't you, anyway?
I've done a little bit, yeah. Not as much as I'd like to have done, but then you've got to dedicate yourself to that. And to be honest, I'm just doing music all the time.
Yeah. Well, we can't wait to see you. I'm going to be there. I can't wait to see you on Sunday the 17th of July at the Brentwood Festival.
It's going to be good fun. It'll be a great laugh. It'll be a great day out. So just want people to come along and enjoy it.
It will be rammed packed. Don't you worry. I can't wait to see you. The band is going to be fantastic. Thanks for giving us 10 minutes of your time and have a lovely afternoon.
Yeah, Andrew, take care.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Tony Hadley. Don't forget, you can catch him and his fantastic band on Sunday the 17th of July here at the Brentwood Festival. Coming up next, we've got Mike Jones. He's going to be talking about the EU. There's a debate going on. What side are you on?